Okay, my grandfather, Henry Lovin, with his wife Melinda, and their three sons, Orne and Omer, which were twins. Orne was my dad, and Orly, he was a little bit younger than Omer and my dad.
I think that would be O-R-L-E-Y?
O-R-L-I-E.
L-I-E.
I think Eugene, yeah.
And Orne has one R.
O-R-E-N.
O-R-E-N.
Yeah. And Omer's O-M-A-R. And,
you know why they chose those names? They're unusual.
I know. All three of them start with an O. Yeah. I don't know, Eugene. But anyway, they come by train to the Grand Round Valley in this area somewhere around 1911. And they settled in around the town of Cove. Probably it's a good 2 miles from the town of Cove to where the old Lovin Ranch was. And I can remember being out there, oh, maybe one time when I was, three or four years old. I wasn't very old because I don't recollect anything except being out there, and we had a big family gathering. And I've talked to my sister Merle about this, and she can just remember about one time, too, when we was out there all together. But Dad used to tell us that when they come to this town, to the valley, the Grand Round Valley was full of water. You had to come over to Union and then around the foothill road to get to La Grande. And that's the reason Ida City was named Ida City.
Yeah. It was that depended, too, on the time of year.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. That was probably spring. It would
yeah.
be mainly full
right.
of water.
Yeah, that's right. So then Dabney met my mother somewhere along the line. I have no idea where or when or whatever happened, you know, but they married and lived up by Morgan Lake. And my dad hauled wood downtown here to buy groceries or whatever they needed, you know, which is the way a lot of people did. Barter work and stuff like this.
Do you know if he built the house they lived in near Morgan Lake?
No, that's the old, it was the old priest. Somebody had built it before, and it was the old priest place, which is when you go up the road, there's houses all around there, but when you first come up there, you look way down to the right, and over on the hillside, there's a house over there with a green roof and everything on it, and that's about approximately where the old priest place was. And
were they renting a place, you think?
Well, I doubt if there was much rent going on, Eugene, you know, whether...
Working for the owner?
Working for the owner or something like this, yeah. And my two sisters and brother was born up there, and my sister and one brother was twins. Dad was a twin. He had a set of twins, and my oldest daughter had a set of twins. Then it got down to my first grandson that had a set of twins. So the twins have stayed in the Lovin family pretty good, which is a pretty good deal, you know.
Could you tell about what kind of a man your father was, what some of his characteristics were?
Well, he was a hard worker. Of course, then days, nobody knew anything but hard work. And he was a good family man. He provided for his family. And he didn't go to church. He wasn't much of a church person. As a matter of fact, none of us were. Well, us kids used to go to Sunday school on Sunday and stuff like this. But he had something wrong from World War I. And he spent quite a bit of time in the Veterans Hospital in Walla Walla.
You told about that.
Yeah. And
did he have a sense of humor?
Hmm?
Did he have a sense of humor?
Oh, yeah. 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 Yeah, he was a good old man.
Was he a cusser?
Yeah, oh yeah. Not a lot of it, no, but if he wanted to say goddamn or something like that, you know, he'd do it. And
how tall was he? About your height?
About my height. He wasn't much taller. He wasn't a big man, but he probably weighed 180 pounds.
You about 5'8"?
About 5'6". 5'7", somewhere along in there, yeah.
Did he have big muscles?
Oh, not really. No, he was... well, whatever you want to call it, you know. No, he didn't have no big
Most of the work he was doing up there was working with his hands.
Oh, yeah,
wasn't
yeah,
it?
That's right. It should have built a lot of muscles if it, you know, if it didn't, but. And yeah, he was.
How far did he get in school?
Well, I couldn't tell you, Eugene.
He didn't talk about it?
No. This is the trouble. Years ago, people didn't talk about that stuff, you know. You know, nobody had a recorder or anything like this, and so, and then again, nobody thought anything about it. It's the same way with a lot of stuff we threw away.
Could your father read?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he read, well, a newspaper like everybody else, but other than, he didn't do a lot of book reading, no.
Did he have a beard?
No, no, he kept clean shaven all the time.
How do you think he shaved?
Well, he had a little, what do you call it, to it? The razor blade had one side to it, you know, and you turn it over.
And you had a leather strop to sharpen it.
Well, I don't remember that. I don't believe he did, Eugene. He just used a razor blade. You turn it over on both sides, you know, you can turn it over on both sides.
A long one, about 5 inches?
It was only about that tall, Eugene. You get in your hand, and it had a little deal there for the blade, and then when you use one blade for so long, and then you take the blade out and turn it over. So then he didn't have a sharpener, which they did have, but he didn't have one. He would just buy new blades and stuff like this.
It was probably one of the first safety razors.
Probably. Yeah, it could have been very easy.
The other ones weren't very safe if you didn't operate them properly.
You could cut your throat if for
yeah.
easy.
Yes.
I never did use one of them. I used a safety razor a lot. But
How did he dress? Just overalls?
Just overalls.
Blue shirt all the time?
Yeah, that's right. And he had an old hat that he used to wear all the time. He did. Yeah, he was quite a man. He was. They broke the mold. Eventually, and I did meet her, and we went out a few times together and stuff like this. And
she come to LeGrand to live?
Yeah, the one he went to work for the railroad, why they moved down to LeGrand. They did.
Was she about 18 when you met her?
Yeah, she's about a year and a half younger than I am. She is. She'll be 75 next February, and I'll be 77. Next June. So yeah, she's almost my age, about the same difference.
You can't remember where you met her?
No, I really can't, Eugene.
Did you go to dances at Zuber Hall or anything like that?
I would go down there and watch them. I couldn't dance a stroke. I still can't dance a stroke. But I used to go down there and watch it. I knew a lot of the kids, you know, and we'd go down there on Saturday night. I would watch everybody dance.
Well, describe yourself at that time, how you looked.
That's a good question. You're getting too far back in time, Eugene.
Ah, you can remember that.
Of course, I had quite a bit of hair then, you know, and I wasn't too bad a looking guy.
Black?
Yeah, black hair, yeah.
How'd you comb it?
Straight back.
You put any pomade on it?
No. I eventually, I can remember when my hair used to part in the middle, kind of on both sides, you know, and I got the big idea I wanted to comb it straight back, so. It took me quite a while to train it to stay back like that.
Yeah.
But I think eventually I did use a little bit of axle grease or something on it.
Well, most guys did.
Yeah, most guys
especially
did,
if their hair was more than a crew cut.
Right.
Yeah.
So
did you wear a mustache?
No.
No.
No, I've always been clean shaven.
Mm-hmm. Did you have pretty good muscles then?
Oh, I was pretty husky, yeah. I was a pretty husky boy, probably weighed 200
pounds. Did you dress so that people could see your muscles?
No.
Did you wear tight pants?
Well, not really, Eugene. Then I think clothes were a little bit more loosely than they are now.
Mm-hmm.
They were.
Mm-hmm. Where did you buy them?
Well, J.C. Penney's or Trotter's. They used to have a store, Trotter's Men's Store.
Yeah.
Well, every time he had on a new pair of jeans, well, where'd you get that at, Trotter's? Because you can get down there and charge it, see?
Oh, yes.
So,
did you ever buy a suit?
I never did buy a suit, Eugene.
Oh, why?
I just wasn't that type of guy. I didn't necktie. I probably had a necktie on half a dozen times in my life. When I put a necktie, I feel like I'm tied up.
Mm-hmm.
And
You didn't go to any social events where you needed a suit? Church? Or you didn't go to church much?
No.
Did you go to any funerals?
A few, but you just dress casual, you know. Uh-huh. I have a suit now, but it belonged to my father-in-law. Uh-huh. When he passed away, I got some of his clothes because he was a big man and I could fit into him.
Yeah, I bet it has moth holes in it by now.
Well, yeah, it probably has.
What kind of shoes did you usually wear?
Oh, I wore a lot of boots. I used to like boots all over.
Like logger boots?
Well, in that effect, yeah.
Big rubber soles with sort of cleat bottoms?
Yeah. We've done a lot of walking from here to school, you know.
Yeah.
And it worked real good, especially in the winter.
In high school, were most of the boys dressing the same way you were?
Well, everybody wore cords or whatever, yeah. Mm-hmm. Nobody was fancy dressers then. You just casual stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. And then when the cords come out, why, everybody went to cords. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't afford them, so I didn't go to them, see. I still wore the overalls and stuff like this.
Did you wear bib overalls very much?
I did for a long time, Eugene, and then I finally went to the waist overalls, you know. And
did you have any kind of hankering to use to wear cowboy clothes?
No, I sure didn't.
Not the cowboy boots or 10-gallon hat?
No.
Big buckle on the belt?
No.
No?
No, I sure didn't, Eugene. Why?
That was popular around here, wasn't it? I mean, the farm boys probably wore those.
But I never had that idea to wear cowboy stuff, you know. We had quite a few guys, my friends around here, that did wear cowboy stuff, but I didn't. Never did get into it. Number one, I probably couldn't afford it to begin with, and that's the reason I just wore casual stuff.
When did you find out that there were whorehouses in La Grande?
Oh, Jesus. Probably after I was married.
You didn't know in high school, are you sure?
No, I don't think, well, they've had whorehouses here for years.
Yeah,
years. But no, even in school, Eugene, we never paid any attention to it. We didn't, I'm sure.
You must not have walked along Jefferson Avenue very often.
Well, no, not really. I would walk to town quite often and go down to the pool hall and play pool.
Which pool hall, Toad's?
Well, no, you know where the old Top Shop is, that building they've done all the renovating on? Okay, that used to be the Corner Club. And they had three pool tables in there.
Did they part on Adams Avenue or behind it?
On Adams Avenue, because that was all that parking lot there now was all full of buildings.
Mm-hmm.
It was. And they had a hamburger stand in there, and I've been playing pool ever since I was 14 years old, which you're supposed to be 16, but I guess I thought I looked like I was 16. I don't know. But no, I can't remember, Eugene, of even wondering about it or anything.
Okay. Well, tell me about playing poker.
Well, I got used to going to Chivalry to buy a cigar. I'd go back there and watch them playing cards.
You went, say again, you went in where?
In the Chope cigar store.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That was about where, well, on the same long line as the Longhouse, the cafe, and Red Cross Drugs.
The Red Cross Drugs, and then they've got a building there where they got all kinds of chairs and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, that was Chope cigar store in there. It was. And they had a couple.
That's on Depot Street.
Yeah. They had a couple pool tables in there. And I'd go back and watch them play cards. And so one night, when I walked in there to get a cigar, and this guy at the
You were smoking then?
Yeah, smoking cigars, yeah. I never did smoke cigarettes. Mm-hmm. But
what got you started smoking cigars?
Oh, we thought we'd big shots, you know.
Oh, yeah.
On New Year's Eve, a bunch of us go to town. And get together, and of course we always had smoke cigars, you know, Red Dots. And there was a brand called the Red Dot. And I think they were probably a nickel cigar, about all we could afford. So anyway, I went to Jody's one night, and this guy says, "Here, Bill," he handed me a $10 bill. And he said, "The poker game about broke up, you go back in there and buy some chips." So So I went back there and gave the guy $10, you know, and got chips. And so we kept the game going for a while. And so,
well, did he hire you or give you the $10 because he knew you were a good poker player?
No. Hell, I never played a game of poker in my life.
Well, why do you think he did that?
They wanted to keep the poker game going.
Well, why did he think that you could do it?
Just the idea that I had been in there many times, you know, buying cigars. And so they thought, well, maybe he'd hold a game together.
Where did you learn to play poker?
Oh, we used to play a lot of penny ante over Eugene.
At home?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My uncle used to get together on New Year's Eve, and we would have a big party, and we would always end up playing penny ante poker. So I knew a little bit about it, but we used to play draw and stud poker all the time. And I got down there to play what they call lowball. Well, I really didn't understand the game, but it's the lowest hand you can get, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, see? That's what they call lowball. So anyway, I lost the $10 that night and didn't pay any attention to it, you know. So then,
was it fun?
Oh, yeah, I had a good time.
Good time. What about some of the other men who were playing? I assume it was all men. There were no women.
No women. It's hard to tell, Eugene. There were so many guys come in and play cards.
Railroad guys or just a mixture of guys from all...
A mixture of everybody,
yeah.
Eugene. Mill workers, railroaders, drifters.
Mm-hmm.
We used to have quite a few drifters come into town play mm-hmm. cards. We used to have them from Milton Freewater or from Ontario.
Were they looking for work?
No, they were just drifters playing cards. Just drifters. We used to have a fellow come clear from... I'll think of it tomorrow. Anyway, we had one come from... for Christ's sake, I can't think of anything. Unity.
Oh, yeah, Unity.
One from Unity.
Uh-huh.
And, the name of it, anyway.
Outside the Valley?
Well, clear over Lewis and Idaho.
Oh, yeah.
Lewis and Idaho.
Yeah.
And these guys would come in, a couple times a year. And then they would try to get a big poker game going. They might win $200 or $300, see. Ordinarily, you would just play, maybe $40 or $50 on the table, something like this. But these guys always come in and buy $100 worth of chips a piece. And then, of course, guys like me would run us out because we couldn't afford that kind of stuff. And so this is the way it was with them. They would come in and try and get a big game going so they could win some money. And then there was another guy from Palau who used to come in, and a couple of loggers here that used to come in and play all the time, with high rollers. They thought they was high rollers. But and then every now and then they would get a big game going. You know, they get $1,000, $1,500 on the table, and some of the guys would win $400 or $500.
Would you explain to me how the house got money from these poker games?
Oh, okay. Okay, to begin with, each player enters a chip, say 25 cents. So then somebody will bet $1.50, something like this. Well, it just according to how many people call him, and then the dealer will look at the pot and size it up, and he might take 50 cents out of it, or it was $25 in the pot, he might take 75 cents or a dollar. So the dealer would probably have to size up each pot and decide a certain percentage of it. And that's the way.
And the dealer is the employer, or
yeah.
employee of the owner?
Right.
Yeah.
And this is how they made money on it. One game down there one night I was watching, and the dealer was taking a $5 chip every pot. So at the end of the night, you know, they played probably 30, 40 hands an hour. So this turned out to be pretty good money at the end of when they quit at midnight.
Would some of the players complain that the dealer was taking too much?
Not very often, Eugene, no. No, they would just, if they was winning a little bit, they wouldn't pay any attention to it. I never heard anybody complain about taking money out of the pot. I didn't.
Well, tell more about how you got to be kind of a regular there, and you were being paid to play all the time.
Okay. I was out of work the winter of 51 and 52, And, of course, I was down in Chody quite a bit, you know, watching them play cards. So the man that run the game says, Billy, why don't you come in and work for me for a while?
This would be the dealer?
Yeah, the guy that was running the game. And he says, come in a few days and we'll see how it goes. So I would go down there and hang around. And when about 10 o'clock, that's when they wanted to start playing cards, 10 o'clock in the morning. So I would get down there at 10 o'clock in the morning, and there'd be three of us that worked for the house, that played for the house. And then if somebody wanted to come in and sit down, then one of us would get up and leave, make room for somebody with live money, what they called live money, see. So eventually he said, he gave me a $5 bill. And he says, if you want to work for me, Billy, he says, I'll give you $5 a day. You got to be here at 10 o'clock in the morning and hang around here till 8 o'clock at night, whatever. If the game's going good, okay. But he says, you know, you can tell if the game gets down to three or four players, then you come sit in. And they would hand you chips, $5 worth of chips. See? So this is how I got into playing for the house.
Were you guaranteed $5 a day, whether or not you won?
Whether you won or lost, you'd get $5 a day. But if you did win a little bit, he would already give you an extra $5. So it worked out pretty good. And I was on unemployment, which was $5 a day. So I was making $10 a day, tax-free money, you see. So I thought I was really a big-time operator.
$10 a day plus a little more now and then,
yeah,
I suppose.
Yeah, a little bit more now and then.
Could you earn more than 10?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You were guaranteed $5. If
guaranteed
you were winning,
five.
You'd get another $5.
Right.
Could you get more than that?
Yes. If you, just according to what you won, Eugene.
Right.
You know, I think I won $40 or $50 one day, and I think he did give me $8 or $9.
Now, don't be modest about this, but were you considered to be one of the best poker players in that house?
No, I was a poor poker player.
A poor?
Well, people could bluff me out real easy. You know, if they would shove a pile of chips at me, well, it would scare me. But if I had in my mind that I had a real good hand, I knew what low ball was then, and if I had in my mind that I had a real good hand, there wasn't enough money to bluff me out. But I went broke a lot of times. You know, I lost. You don't win all the time.
Yeah.
But
was there any cheating that you ever noticed?
I see the dealer, the man sitting behind the box. He was pulling some funny stuff one night.
What kind of a box was it?
Oh, they just had a little box like this, Eugene, and there
was about a foot wide.
No, well, it was about a foot wide and probably 8 or 10 inches wide, wrong or
it
whatever.
Would have a cover or a top on it?
No, it was just had a little shelf on it, and chips sit in there. Mm. And if somebody wanted to buy some chips, you know, or
right.
Something like that, well, he'd give them chips. Mm-hmm. And then all the money would go up to the cash register. The man working behind the bar. If somebody'd buy $10 worth of chips, why, you would give him the 10 and he would put it in.
So you were in the same room as the bar?
Oh, yeah.
So were there drinks on the table all the time?
No booze. No booze.
That's the rule of the game?
Yeah, there were no booze on the table. But they did keep a bottle back in the toilet area.
For emergencies?
For emergency, right. So when the game
got... I gotta go piss. Sorry.
When the game got going good and stuff like this, why, they would go back and take a little nip on this bottle, see?
Yeah.
And, of course, that would loosen them up and they would really go haywire then.
Right. Okay, back to the cheating.
Well, this dealer, he was playing head-to-head with some guy. And I was sitting back there watching, standing back there watching. And I see the dealer going second card on this guy. Like, God almighty.
What does that mean?
Well, he's going down to the second card, see, not the top card of the deck. He was fudging around there so he'd get the second card.
As and though he planned it that way. Planned what the second card would be.
Right.
Yes.
And it, I thought...
You think cards were marked?
No. No marked cards. I couldn't imagine why he was doing that, because this guy could see him just like I was, you know. But evidently he never did see him. And that went on for about a half an hour, and this guy lost $10, $20 or whatever. So that was the end of that. But that was the only time that I could remember of seeing any cheating in the game.
Was poker the only game you played there?
They had a pan game, a kind of a rummy game. It was across on the other side of the room. And, I really can't explain it, Eugene, because I didn't really know that much about it. But you got 10 cards, and if you had 3 trays, it was worth a couple of chips, or 3 fives, or 3 sevens. And then if it was spades, it was double. And then if you got what they call a spade flush, you went down with 10 cards with a spade flush, it was double also. And 3 fives was 8 chips, 3 sevens was 8 chips, and 3 trays was 8 chips. And then you got an extra 2 chips for going out or something. It was kind of like a rummy game. But if you had this spade flush, it all mounted up double.
While these poker games were going on, was there any conversation about other subjects other than the game?
Oh, yeah. Everybody BSing Eugene, talking about hunting or working or fishing, you know, whatever. It was just all BS about all it was.
Were most of the men acquainted with each other?
Oh, yeah.
Do you think they were playing poker mainly with the hope of winning, or was it just socializing?
No, I'm sure they was playing with the idea of winning a little bit, Eugene, you know. But it didn't. Once in a while, you would win, and then again, you wouldn't. Like I'm telling you, they could bluff me out pretty easy unless I thought that I had a good hand. Then it was a little bit different.
Did you have any dealings with Virgil Choate himself?
Well, Virgil eventually opened up another place on down where the old Corner Lunch was. And he used to come up there, and the game was getting weak down there. He'd come up and get me, and we'd go down there, and I'd get in that game down there. If the other game up at the cigar store filled up, then I would go down there, and we would play cards down there.
Do you think Virgil was making quite a bit of money out of this?
Oh, I'm sure he was, Eugene. I'm sure he was making good money.
How could you tell?
How could I tell? Well, real easy. He never seemed to have any trouble buying anything he needed.
Mm-hmm.
And he dealt in guns also, see.
Mm-hmm.
And he made a lot of good money on guns. But his dad was also in there. His dad is the one that started the place. And Virgil eventually went to work for him. But no, I'm sure Virgil made pretty good money down there.
Did he buy fancy cars?
Well, I don't remember it being any too fancy, Eugene, but whenever he wanted a new car, he would buy it, you know. And I wouldn't say he lived high on the hog, but, I'm sure he had more than the ordinary person I am.
Did you do this poker for hire scheme for more than a few months?
Well, I was in there probably 3 or 4 months a winter.
Yeah.
But then the winter in the spring of 53. Yeah, that's when I went to work for the state in 1953. And so I got out of the cigar store because I was gone all the time. But that was about the end of my poker plan for them.
Tell me again what year you did this with Choate.
The winter of 51 and 52.
Uh-huh. And why were you out of work then?
Well, I had to be a truck driver, Eugene. I just had to be a truck driver.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You quit at the mill.
Yeah, I quit the mill.
You were sick of that carriage because
right.
It was
doing
you in.
Right.
Yes. So you just up and quit.
And I just walked off the mill out there one day at noon, and I had to be a truck driver. That's all there was to it.
And were you actively looking for work as a truck driver while you were working, playing poker at Choate's?
Oh, yeah. But in the wintertime, there ain't much going on, see?
Yeah.
So then in the spring and the summer, I would be working driving truck.
When did the big break come on getting a truck driving job?
Well, it never did come. It never did break for me, Eugene, because I finally gave it up.
I see. Well, you got the job with the state.
Yeah, I got a job with
the
state.
That wasn't exactly truck driving.
Well, it was. In the wintertime, you run a snowplow.
The kind that has a snowplow in the front of a
right,
truck.
Right.
As opposed to the greater kind of snowplow.
Yeah. And then that year they broke me in on the grader in 1953. And, mm-hmm. and from then until 69 I run grader, and then in wintertime I would plow snow.
If you had this dream of being a truck driver for so long, was it kind of a disappointment not to be able to do
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it was, Eugene.
You mean, would you rather have spent the rest of your life driving semis from here to Texas?
At one time I thought I would, Eugene, yeah. I thought I would. I just...
What was so glamorous about that line?
I'll be damn if I know. I don't have any idea.
It's maybe a little boy's...
little boy dream, I think, probably, yeah. But after I got it out of my system, I was so damn glad that I got it out of my system. Because I had enough truck driving for the state, you know, in the wintertime and stuff like this. No, I'm glad I got it out of my system. Because I would... After I seen all this stuff, I would never want to be a long-haul driver. Nope.
Well, you were playing poker while you were unemployed at Choate's at the same time that I was taking classes up here at Eastern Oregon College.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Winter of 1951.
Oh, that right?
Yes. Started in January and went till June.